Hey everybody, I'm Marvel.com Associate Editor Ben Morris, and you're listening to the audio version of Daredevil number 1. Now here to explain a little bit about what we're doing here is Marvel Senior Editor and Daredevil Editor Stephen Wacker.
This project came about because as we were getting ready to relaunch the new Daredevil book with Mark Waid and Paulo Rivera and Marcos Martin on the creative side, we had gotten a lot of letters from actual blind Marvel Comics readers who have friends read comics to them every single week when the books come out. So I thought it would be a cool and fun little exercise to get a few of us together here, very impromptu, and read through the issue, the first issue of Daredevil. We were lucky enough to get the writer of the book, Mark Waid, to record the panel descriptions that he wrote that will sort of take the listener through the story. And we've got a few of our editorial staff here to read the various parts. Ben, you want to take everybody around?
Sure. Introducing our vocal cast real quick, we have Associate Editor Tom Brennan playing the role of Daredevil and Matt Murdock.
Hello.
We have Assistant Editor Ellie Pyle playing the role of Kirsten McDuffie.
Hi.
And we have the incomparable Jordan White, also an assistant editor, playing the roles of Foggy Nelson and various and sundry background voices.
Hello there.
Steve was also nice enough to contribute some background voices, and you have already heard his voice. And when you get to the letters page, I will be playing the role of Mark Waid, my hero and mentor. Doing the recording for us today is Todd Wanish of the Marvel.com video department. Todd, can you reach the microphone to yourself?
Hi there.
We want to just thank everybody for listening. It's just an experiment, a bit of fun for the fans. We definitely hope you like it. The book went on sale on July 20th. It's on sale every single month. It's a fantastic new comic, and I think all of us here at Marvel are very proud of it, and we're glad, especially for Mark, for stepping up and taking his time. And Ben, thank you for putting this together.
Absolutely. So without any further ado, let's hear the first issue of Daredevil, the audio version.
Battling Jack Murdock wanted his son to live his life without fear. He urged Matt not to follow in his footsteps as a small-time boxer, to have the guts to make something of himself. When Matt was still a teenager, he saved an old man about to be run over by a runaway truck. But a radioactive cylinder fell from the truck and blinded Matt for life. Yet he soon realized his other senses had become superhumanly acute. He could tell whether or not someone was lying by listening to the person's heartbeat. He could recognize people by scent alone. And he had developed a sixth sense, a radar-like awareness of where objects were. Murdock didn't need any superpowers to graduate at the top of his law school class. He became a successful attorney, fulfilling the dreams of his father. Battling Jack did not live long enough to savor Matt's success. Gangster's bullets cut him down after refusing to throw a fight. Jack didn't want Matt to become a fighter, but to bring his father's killers to justice, he became a man without fear. Here comes Daredevil.
Daredevil number 1, page 1. Panel 1. It's late afternoon, dusk. This entire first scene takes place at the Cloisters, a beautiful New York building slash garden slash park made up of several European medieval abbeys. It's colorful and doesn't look at all like the usual Daredevil set piece. Let's start with an establishing shot from whatever angle you think is most beautiful.
On the northern tip of Manhattan, overlooking the Hudson, is a branch of the Met called the Cloisters. The main building is a meticulous reassembly of five medieval European abbeys, every brick authentic, while the surrounding gardens are a marvel of landscaping and living tapestry of colors and textures.
Panel 2. Daredevil, battle ready, billy club in hand and ready to pounce, his senses at full alert, crouches in the shadows on a scenic rooftop.
I'll bet it's a beautiful sight.
Panel 3. Super tight on Daredevil's eyes, squinting a bit as he concentrates. Eventually we'll come up with a less traditional visual for this, but this one time, to fully make clear to the readers what's going on, we see concentric circles representing radar scents emanating from between his eyes.
I wouldn't know. A radioactive accident altered my senses when I was a kid, so let me tell you what I see.
Page 2. Panel 1. Daredevil's point of view, as perceived by his radar sense. A small wedding is about to take place in the garden below, but to Daredevil, it's all slightly fuzzy silhouettes.
A courtyard filled with tuxedos, gowns, and folding chairs that creak like wooden ships.
Panel 2. A tight profile on Daredevil. Close up on his ears and on his mouth.
The sound of happy laughter and, in the breeze, the salt taste of tears.
Panel 3. Tight on Daredevil's hand. ungloved, as the tips of his first and second fingers touch an expensive wedding invitation, feeling the embossing as if reading it.
Embossed linen pulp announcing the nuptials of Deborah Giacomo and Vincent Petroselli.
Panel 4. Tied on Daredevil's nose, and, if you think it works, tied on his intrigued smile.
And in the very back, a bride who smells like jasmine, cardamom, carnation, and lemon. Clive Christian perfume. Expensive. Great choice.
Panel 5. Normal point of view. As the procession starts, the adorable 5-year-old flower girl is walking down the aisle just ahead of the bride. All eyes are on the bride. Daredevil is in the background, unnoticed by the wedding party.
I'm crashing the wedding uniting two of New York's bigger crime families because there's a rumor in the wind that a hit is planned. And as I once more ask myself who'd be idiot enough to draw a gun in this crowd and hope to walk away, there's an almost imperceptible shift to the echo of the organ music.
Panel 6 and 7. We go tighter on the flower girl's feet as a black circle begins to open up on the ground in her path. Page 3. Panel 1. Staying on the flower girl's feet, she's about to walk into the hole, and from it, the gnarled arms and hands of the creepy teleportation villain, The Spot, are reaching up to grab her.
And I realize it's not a hit.
Panel 2. Just in the nick of time and to the shock of the wedding guests, including the bride, Daredevil swings in on his billy club and pulls the little girl to safety.
It's a kidnapping.
Daredevil!
Panel 3. A burly bodyguard, watching Daredevil swing away, pulls his gun from under his jacket, but the bride yells at him, stops him from shooting.
Smart target. The Giacomos would pay anything for their little princess.
He's got Katie. Take him down!
No, you'll hit her! Don't shoot!
And now they think I'm the kidnapper. Terrific way to make my triumphant return to the game.
Panel 4. Arcing acrobatically, holding the frightened child. Daredevil's coming in for a graceful landing, but he can't yet tell that another black spot is opening up right where he's about to touch down.
Spider-Man once told me about a contract man named The Spot. Dumb name, disturbing power. Strikes like a cobra through holes in space he can open up at will.
Page 4. Panels 1 and 2. Contorting wildly without dropping the child, Daredevil just manages to avoid the hole and the emerging creepy hands, both arms this time, nearly up to the torso. Daredevil bounces back up rather than staying put.
Like that one. Thank you, Radar Sense.
Panel 3. Daredevil's point of view on the reaching arms. And here, they're actually extra disturbing and creepy because, in silhouette and through Daredevil's radar sense, the black parts read as empty, like the spot is studded with random Swiss cheese cutaways.
Because his body's riddled with teleportation energy. And since I don't have the first idea where to put the girl where she'd be safe from him.
Page 5. Panel 1. Daredevil, still holding the girl, bounds high and acrobatically above the aghast wedding crowd.
I run a blind man's bluff. It's not me! I'm saving her! It's The Spot! And he's working with an inside man here!
Daredevil's point of view again. A silhouette of the crowd, at a weird angle since Daredevil's arcing through the air. Several regular EKG heartbeat lines across the shot. And one irregular line with a huge spike.
And listen for whose heartbeat spikes.
Panel 3. Daredevil, landing next to the bride and groom, points accusingly at a very nervous bodyguard. The very one who almost opened fire on him. The one with the huge heartbeat spike. Others react in horror to the bodyguard.
Sal Danarati!
Sal, is that true?
What? No, I...
Page 6. Panel 1. Frantic, panicked, the bodyguard whips out his gun and takes aim at the off-panel Daredevil, unaware that a black spot is opening up across his own chest.
That bought me a moment.
Oh, Christ! How'd you know, you costume freak? How? Look, it was his idea, not mine, okay? You want The Spot? I'll tell you everything I know!
Panel 2. He reacts in horror to see The Spot's arms reaching out of the hole. Panel 3. Close on Daredevil, surprised. Panel 4. Close on the frightened little flower girl as Daredevil instinctively wraps his hands around her so she can't see or hear what happens next.
Uncle Sal?
Panel 5. Which is that The Spot's hands and arms reach up and out and twist the bodyguard's head violently, snapping his neck and killing him instantly. Page 7. Panel 1. Chaos. As the bodyguard slumps dead to the ground, another portal opens up in midair right next to Daredevil and the flower girl.
Okay, blind man, how do you stop that?
Panel 2. As hands begin to reach out, Daredevil shoves the flower girl into the groom's arms. The bride gapes, frozen. everyone else is running in abject panic.
You, Taker, and you, the one who kept me from getting shot. Before I do this, there's something I have to tell you.
Panel 3. Daredevil dips the bride deeply and lays a wildly passionate kiss on her. She doesn't kiss back, but neither does she resist.
That perfume drives me wild.
Panel 4. Tight on Daredevil's hand as it darts into the shot and grabs one of the Spot's wrists. Panel 5. Daredevil, now holding on to both of the Spot's arms extending from the portal, screams at the fleeing bride and groom. The groom, carrying the flower girl, scowls at the bride.
I've got him! Go! Go!
Wow.
Come out of there, you...
Page 8. Panel 1. Daredevil struggles mightily with the creepy, gnarled arms reaching out of the portal. He's trying to pull Spot out, but the unseen Spot is pulling back just as hard, dragging one of Daredevil's arms into the hole, and Daredevil screams in agony. It's like he has a tiger by the tail.
Yeah! Didn't expect that. Whatever's on the other side. Like jagged ice.
Panels 2 and 3. And to Daredevil's astonishment, teeth still gritted in pain, even as he continues to struggle, the portal increases in size and three more gnarled arms creep out from the portal to reach for him.
The holy hell am I dealing with? I could just let it go and run.
Panel 4. Tight on Daredevil's grin. Panel 5. Daredevil leaps headlong into the portal. He's leaping, taking the initiative, not being dragged.
Yeah, right.
Page 9. The front page of the Daily Bugle. Huge on the page is a photo of Daredevil kissing the bride. Beneath that, a smaller photo of the Spot, defeated.
Headline, Man Without Fear. Wedding hells as Daredevil locks lips with Mafia princess Deborah Giacomo. Photo by Gene Everett Wood. Second story, DD KO's Spot, PO's mob.
Page 10, panel 1, daytime, the next day, Manhattan, the courthouse district. A coffee vendor working out of a one-man street cart is reading that same newspaper front page excitedly. Important. Here or somewhere else on the page, the cart needs prominent signs somewhere that say things like whole bean organic coffee and, smaller, fresh cream. Part of our reminder that someone with Matt's hypersenses would eat and drink only the most natural foods.
So what happened then, Mr. Murdoch, huh? What happened in the hole with the Spot? Did you get him?
Panel 2. Pull back to show the vendor pouring coffee for Matt. Matt's in dark glasses, has his cane, and is dressed immaculately in an expensive suit. He looks slightly amused by the exchange they're having.
I'm not Daredevil, Stu.
Oh, come on, Counselor, you can talk to me. Was that Sal guy dead? I bet he was dead, yeah?
Panel 3. Matt, smiling, watches the vendor pour cream into the coffee.
I'm not Daredevil, Stu.
Yeah. Sugar?
2.
So let's talk kissing the bride at a mob wedding. That took sack. How was it?
You'd have to ask Daredevil, Stu.
Panel 4. The vendor shoots Matt a sour look. Play it for comedy.
Fine. Then pay for your coffee today.
Panel 5. Matt, smiling, hands the sour vendor some money. The vendor's looking at the money, scowling.
You bet. Got change for a 20?
That's a 5.
Whoops.
Panel 6. Sipping his coffee, happy, Matt walks down the street away from the still ticked off vendor.
Here's the way that works. A while back, I got outed as Daredevil in the tabloid press. Turns out in an era of internet, surveillance, homeland security, and DNA analysis, secret identities are a bitch to maintain.
Page 11. Panel 1. Matt approaches the Manhattan Civil Court building.
I spent a lot of time and effort trying to finesse that genie back into the bottle, but the 24-hour news cycle eventually did the job for me. Nothing stays a headline forever, especially celebrity gossip, and especially in New York. Add to that the people's skepticism that a blind man could be Daredevil, and it's no longer an issue. But it was. The hell it put me through was just the first step down a long road of ugly personal horror. Eventually I had to leave the city, my legal practice, and my friends.
Panel 2. Inside, Foggy Nelson, a little agitated, he's been waiting, waves towards Matt.
But now I'm home, determined to put it all behind me and start fresh. Because it's either that or succumb to insanity. Again.
Matt, over here, you're late! Do you know what time it is?
Panel 3. Foggy, irritated, escorts Matt down the hall.
Sun, barometrics, what, about 10:10?
Okay, whatever. Matt, I warned you to get to the courthouse before the vultures gathered, didn't I?
Foggy Nelson is the other half of Nelson and Murdoch, the one man who knows everything about me. He's my partner because he's a brilliant litigator with an encyclopedic knowledge of case law.
Panel 4. Foggy winces as they turn the corner.
I'm his partner because of people's characteristic hesitance to hire a lawyer named Foggy.
You're good at superheroing. Let's see how you are at crowd control.
Page 12. In between Foggy and Matt and the courtroom doors are almost a dozen reporters and paparazzi bearing down on Matt like lions on a wounded gazelle. Cameras are flashing, microphones are shoved forth, etc.
Back in court, Daredevil, how's it feel to...
A question for Loblaw.
Yo, Daredevil, you have a dare diva in your life? Is it true justice isn't blind in this case? Baba Booey, Baba Booey!
Panel 2. Matt and Foggy push past the press into the courtroom.
Thought for sure we'd be past this by now.
At least it's not the networks. Mostly paparazzi and bloggers. It could be worse.
Panel 3. Inside the courtroom, later. Matt's addressing his client on the witness stand, a pleasant middle-aged Muslim man with his arm in a cast.
It gets worse. And you claim the officer in question hurled racial epithets at you as he dragged you from your vehicle, Mr. Gibrani. Could you repeat...
Objection, Your Honor!
Panel 4. The defense lawyer, not a villain, but an intense man sincere in his efforts to defend his client, the uniformed policeman sitting next to him, stands up to speak. Matt glares at them both.
The defense questions the motivation of counsel in bringing charges of, quote, police brutality. After all, as the vigilante Daredevil, Mr. Murdoch, already maintains an adversarial relationship with patrolmen, does he not?
And so it goes.
Page 13. Panel 1. Murdoch and the defense lawyer argue with one another.
For the next half hour, the defense relentlessly makes this case about me and nothing but. He goes out of his way to work the word Daredevil into every single sentence. I'd be impressed by his approach if it didn't make me want to strangle him.
Panel 2. The plaintiff, no longer on the stand, looks at off-panel Matt with worry. Foggy, seated next to the plaintiff, palms his face in an "oh, we're screwed" gesture.
Gibrani's pulse is racing and he's sweating buckets. Poor guy. I'm losing him. We're in trouble.
Panel 3. Matt and the defense attorney stand before the judge, who's seething and who's banging his gavel.
That's it. I'm granting the plaintiff a continuance.
Judge, we didn't ask for...
You'll need the time, counselor.
Panel 4. Over Matt's protestations, the judge addresses the plaintiff.
Your Honor...
Mr. Gibrani, the court apologizes, but I strongly suggest you find yourself a new lawyer. This one's doing you no favors. See the bailiff for rescheduling.
Panel 5. On Matt, the plaintiff, and Foggy.
Damn it.
He can do that?
In extreme cases, and only if the defense doesn't object, which he won't, seeing as how he'd rather win on a clean trial than on appeal.
Panel 6. Matt shakes his client's hand. The client looks pained, ashamed, but Matt's trying his best to console the man.
I feel awkward.
Don't. The judge made a good call, Mr. Gibrani. We'll refer you, and I'll foot the bill. I'm sorry. Foggy, call Michelle Rodriguez, see if she'll take this. I'll meet you back at the office.
Page 14. Panel 1. A few minutes later, Matt, cane in hand, stands dramatically atop the rooftop of a different building, the one that houses his law office. Matt stands right at the edge of the building, lost in thought, wind blowing. He's in the same clothes as in the courtroom, but his jacket and tie are off and draped over one arm, and his shirt collar is open, but not enough to reveal the Daredevil suit underneath.
I'm Rusty. I let a lawyer who bought his degree with frequent flyer miles get the best of me. Next time I'll be ready. Next time I'll dodge the press.
Panel 2. Close up on Matt, tight-lipped, lost in thought.
Next time I won't embarrass Foggy.
Panel 3. Another radar sense panel. And just to remind us that Matt sees, quote-unquote, in all directions, we shoot past his face in extreme foreground, facing us, cropped to show just one side of his face, and past it, the radar sense image of a woman emerging from a rooftop access door behind him.
So much for the solitude of the office rooftop. Someone's coming. Act surprised. 5-6, about 1:30. Confident posture. She scuffs her soles along the concrete to warn the blind guy that he has company. Thoughtful.
Panel 4. More radar sense, outlining the woman as she approaches. Matt's back is still to her.
Hello? Someone there?
Page 15. Panel 1. Our first look at our first new recurring cast member. Assistant DA Kirsten McDuffie, and she's a knockout. She's dressed smartly in business attire. She carries a day planner. Her attitude is neutral, neither antagonistic nor friendly. Just think of her as all business so far. Important. She has a pen stuck behind one ear.
We've not met, Mr. Murdoch. My name is Kirsten McDuffie. I'm the new assistant DA. Your receptionist said I'd find you up here. You realize you're awfully close to the edge.
Panel 2. Matt smiles at her with this arming charm. She's neither disarmed nor charmed. This entire scene is essentially foreplay for Matt, a seduction. He never stops smiling his bad boy smile. He'll flirt with any woman, anywhere, anytime. and she ain't having it.
It's like you know me already.
Of the building? Unless, of course, you're counting how many flagpoles there are to bounce off of.
Panel 3. Same new angle.
3. Ah, another daredevil joke.
It's not really a joking matter, Mr. Murdoch. The schlacking you went through uptown, that was just a preview. Every litigator in the game is going to use your daredevil identity against you every time you set foot in a courtroom.
Panel 4. She burrows through the papers in her day planner.
Ironically, I'm not Daredevil.
Remarkably, you have a very slippery grasp of the truth for a L-A-W-Y-E-R.
You really think I'm Daredevil?
I really know you're Daredevil. My nephew knows it, and he still believes in Santa. Let's get to why I'm here.
Page 16, panel 1. Matt grins as, all business, Kirsten continues to rustle through her papers and planner.
Look, even the DA's office can't order you not to enter a courtroom. Not officially. But now that you're back in New York and presumably charting a future, we do encourage you to consider what a liability you are to your clients and to an already overburdened judicial system.
Mm-hmm. Do you give the same speech to all the other lawyers who aren't Daredevil?
Panel 2. Stoically, without saying anything, Kirsten removes the pen from behind her ear. Panel 3. And, flicking her wrists, flips it through the air towards Matt, bouncing it off his forehead.
Ow! Did you just throw something at me?
Panel 4. She walks away from confused Matt, approaching the door.
Yeah, a chance to come clean. Give weight to what I said, Mr. Murdoch.
Panel 5. She exits.
I'm a trial lawyer, Ms. McDuffie, and I'm very good at it.
Which makes the loss to your client even more tragic. Did you know that before you came along, not a single other attorney in town would take Jabroni's case?
Why the hell not? He's telling the truth. He has conclusive evidence. It's a straight-up cakewalk. Are you intimating that something scared them off? Why? Who?
If I were Daredevil, those are certainly questions I'd be asking. Just saying.
Page 17. Panel 1. Tied on Matt's cane as his hands snap it into two pieces. Remember, it's built that way. It's actually two halves. Part billy club and part grappling hook, disguised as a blind man's cane.
Foggy, Matt, belay that Jabroni referral for a bit, okay?
Panel 2. Matt, his cell phone pushed to his ear by his shoulder, so his hands are free, his back to the roof edge, takes a casual step backward into thin air.
This may be bigger than we thought. I'm going to do some digging.
Panel 3. Matt, as nonchalant as can be, still talking on the phone while holding his club and his grappling hook, plummets back first through the air into the adjacent alley. We're several stories up. The important thing you're here to convey is that here, Matt really, really, really looks hyper-casual and totally without a plan.
Call you back.
Panel 4. On the grappling hook as Matt fires it off. Panel 5. And it catches on a window ledge or outcropping or what have you. Panel 6. And we see Matt's shirt, pants, and shoes, a wadded-up bundle, being flung into an open window as he falls off panel, maybe showing his gloved hand tossing the bundle. Page 18. Daredevil swings out into the city.
I ran a full background on Jabroni. He's not hiding anything except his lousy luck with finding representation.
Panel 2. Ever the acrobat, Daredevil bounces off a lamppost.
So what makes a Muslim shop owner dangerous in a trial setting? Is he a target of some sort?
Panel 3. As he bounds onto a rooftop, his radar sense detects a silhouetted figure half hiding on an adjoining rooftop, observing him. The figure is holding a canister-firing gun.
Because if he is, we have that in common. Something's moving in this direction pretty rapidly. Too far away to get much of a reading on him, but...
Page 19. Panel 1. Tight on the canister-firing gun as it ejects two milk-pint-sized canisters into the air. Panel 2. The canisters burst open above Daredevil's head. Panel 3. Surrounding Daredevil with anti-radar chaff. Small, slim metal strips light as paper but designed to jam radar. Showering through the air for several yards in all directions, Daredevil looks concerned as he focuses on the shower of debris.
That's anti-radar chaff. Damn it! He knows me.
Panel 4. Daredevil's radar sense point of view, all screwed up and mangled by the chaff, like trying to see through a blizzard.
And I've lost him. This really does blind me. This crap's hanging in the air like a blizzard. I know this gambit.
Panel 5. Radar sense. Something's headed towards us, straight and fast through the air, but we can't tell what it is.
Something's coming at me.
Page 20. Daredevil. Not looking directly towards it, is oblivious to the fact that Captain America's shield is rocketing into the shot, hurtling right towards him.
But what?
Next! Red, white, black, and blue.
And this is the Letters Without Fear letters page. Blind Matt Murdock stared his life right in the face, and life blinked. Over the past several years, Matt's been on a journey of hellish self-loathing, self-sacrifice, and self-discovery. He's come out of it stronger, more determined, and armed with a blitheness of spirit that can only come with someone weathered and withered by years of pain. Your new creative team of Mark Waid, Paolo Rivera, and Marcos Martin are working hard to live up to the legacy of the fine creators that have called this book home over the past 47 years. Over the next few months, you're going to see Daredevil up against new villains, as well as villains you wouldn't normally see Daredevil up against. As Mark put it in his pitch for the book,
"My read on Daredevil is that, mostly as a mental survival skill thanks to all the personal hells he's endured, he's the only Marvel hero who lives totally in the moment. He doesn't worry about what happens next, nor does he allow himself to be haunted unendingly by his past. He's been through enough agony to have confidence that nothing will break him and, more importantly, that no pain lasts forever. He's a man without fear not just because he'll dive off a skyscraper, but because he genuinely believes that after all he's been through, there's nothing unimaginable left. Nothing out there that could frighten him that he hasn't already weathered. And he's right. For a while."
The goal is to expand the character's world from outside his personal problems and outside his historic home in Hell's Kitchen. Like Spider-Man, Matt shares the New York streets with many other heroes, and the city will be a supporting character in the book. While in the real world, the city has gotten safer, it's also more troublesome and harder to decipher than ever. The perfect place for a man who sees in a way few of us can imagine. Here comes a brand new day for Matt Murdock. Here comes Daredevil.